Working with youth, you see a lot of trends happen. One of those trends that has come as of late has been the trend of social media. And for those of you who aren't familiar with social media, I'll be discussing a lot about this. So the term refers to, generally, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. If you don't know what I have just described, as I speak today, you can use what I talk about to apply to conversation, to what you say in general, because it is applicable to all those things. But I will be applying it specifically to social media. And I gave something like this to the teens about a year and a half ago for the sleepover that they, although not, there was no sleep involved. It was an all-nighter. I don't get to sleep on those things. They don't let me. 1 year I tried and it did not turn out well. So all-nighter, I gave kind of a broken up idea of this to them. And after our discussion with it, it was clear that this is something that is needed in society today, because this is a way that communication is happening, and oftentimes we don't think about the biblical ramifications of it. So that's what we're going to be discussing today. So if you would like to turn in your Bible, we're going to be dealing with Ephesians chapter 4. So you can turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're actually going to be dealing with Ephesians 4, 5, and 6, all the way through Ephesians 4 through 6. Lots of reading today, so you can turn there. As you're doing so, the fall of 2011, Heather and I began a journey, both figuratively and physically. We began a journey. We climbed in my little Mitsubishi, and had it packed to the gills, had a little dog in the front, in the back seat. Heather sat in the front. I didn't put her in the back, I promise. She sat in the front while the dog sat in the back with all of our stuff. And we made the journey from South Carolina to International Falls by way of Wisconsin. So we kind of did this whole little weird thing. Anyways, I had never driven to International Falls at that time. I had flown in to Minneapolis, and Dr. Belding had driven us up once. I think that was the only time I'd come up before then. And so we pulled out. This is before I had smartphones. I barely had a cell phone at this point. I just learned to text. I have caught up with the times, I promise. But at that point, I had not yet gotten into the smartphone craze. I think the iPhone was out by then, but I wasn't there yet. So we pulled out Heather's trusty TomTom. Which is kind of like a Garmin. It's a GPS, if you're familiar with those kind of things. And we sat it on the dashboard, and we typed in Watertown first, but typed in International Falls, Minnesota, and we began heading on our way. We had a funny little British accent on this TomTom. Turn right at the stop sign. Turn left in 21 feet. And so we're going along, giving us directions, and I was quite surprised that I didn't hear from, because multiple times I would just ignore it and say, oh, I know where I'm going. I can be a man sometimes where I just ignore direction and just go, even when it's staring me straight in the face. Just no, it can't know what it's telling me. I just kept going, and I was surprised I did not hear, turn around, you idiot, because I felt like that's kind of how I was driving at times. So like we get to Duluth and we start driving up, and if you guys didn't know, this is kind of the middle of nowhere, because as we're driving up through Virginia, all of a sudden the TomTom went blank. There are no roads whatsoever, and I am now starting to freak out. I'm like, and it's saying we're driving like literally like on grass or I don't know what. Like, I'm like, I have no clue. I'm like, Heather, do you have any ideas? She goes, I think you just take this road all the way to International Falls. I said, it can't be that easy. You can't just take this road all the way to International. No, I think you do. Said no, and we don't have it. I'm gone. Like, I'm like, okay, we need to pull over. We need to get a map. There's nowhere to pull over at this point. I mean, we're past Virginia. We're going that direction. Maybe we come across a gas. I didn't know where the next gas station was. I thought we had enough gas to get there. I had no clue. And I am like, I'm beyond scared at this point. Like, we're going to break down in the middle of nowhere, and we're going to be eaten alive by mooses, whatever you want to call them. I'm scared. And Heather goes, no, just keep going this way. So I keep going. An hour and a half later, sure enough, dead end right into International Falls. And I get out. Lord, thank you for getting us here safely. We're getting a GPS that actually knows where we are. That's what we're going to do, right? I had to place my trust into something that I was not ready to place my trust into, right? This device that I didn't know if it knew what it was doing. And at times I was pretty sure it didn't know what it was doing, and at times I was pretty sure it was going to lead me astray. And I had to follow what that device was telling me to do, pretty much to the T. And if I didn't, I would end up somewhere where I wouldn't want to go. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 17, we find Paul laying out an idea of following, an idea of something, of us being led in some way, shape, or form. He says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk, not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." And he goes on, and we're gonna read on, so stay here, we're gonna read on, but he begins a passage of putting off and putting on. I've preached this passage before. This is the passage that Heather and I had at camp, but he begins this idea of putting off and putting on, and talking about beginning this idea of there is someone, and I use someone with a capital S, there is someone who has walked this life before us and has set out a path that we are to follow, that we are to walk in. And if we don't, if we veer off, then we're going to be going someplace that we probably don't want to go. And he begins talking about this and goes all the way through verse 32 in chapter 4, and then picks right up where he left off in chapter 5. "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us." And he keeps going. And all the way through chapter 5, he gets down to the end of chapter 5, and he begins the whole submit yourself, therefore the husband submit to the wives submit to your husbands, husband love your wives, children obey your parents, servants submit to your masters. He jumps into chapter 6, continues this idea even as he goes through and talks about putting on the armor of God all the way through, laying out a path to follow. And if this is the path that we are to follow, I believe that it doesn't just describe our actions, it can also describe our conversation, which would also apply to how we use social media. This is how I'm getting to what we're going to talk about today. So we're going to be talking about social media by way of walking worthy of Christ. So let's begin in verse 17, and we're going to read a whole lot here. We're going to read through almost the end of chapter 6, verse 17 of chapter 4. "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk, not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling hath given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as become a saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that nor whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all godliness, in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of these things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding that the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as Christ is subject unto Christ, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be subject, be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, and of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, as to the Lord, and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're going to stop there because most of you should be familiar with the rest of this, where he talks about the armor of God, and we won't get into that part in this sermon. That's a lot to have read, and we won't be dealing with it all in specific. We're going to take it all as far as the passages go in a high-level view. We're going to be dealing with it all kind of very quickly. I do have a couple places to park, but what we're going to be doing is talking about walking worthy. Walking worthy. And as we talk about walking worthy, we're going to jump back. Let's see. It's to Philippians. We're going to jump back to Ephesians 5. We're going to start with 3 here. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become the saints. Our culture is fascinated, I would even say consumed, with impurity. If you turn on the television, anywhere you look, anywhere you listen, that is that is often what is the topic of conversation. Not always, but often. What society is focused on. The tabloids have it. You can't go to the marketplace without seeing them straight in front of you. The top sellers have it. The movies have it. It is all around us. And yet Paul sets a standard, and that standard is, let it not be named once among you. And so for this idea, for social media, I have be pure. And for each of these, I put a corresponding passage, another place where you'll find the same idea. A lot of them tend to be Philippians because there are a lot of correlations between the two epistles here. So this one is Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. I will try to turn there really quickly here because it's only a few pages. Philippians 4, verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So whatsoever things are pure, there in that verse, this is fruit of the Spirit. No, this is just talking about things that should be in our life. So whatsoever things are pure. Even as Christians, I think that we tend to struggle in this area because it's so prominent around us. And again, with each idea, I'm going to have a little platitude to go along with here. If you wouldn't say it, don't post it or repost it. I can't tell you how many times I've seen friends that I've gone through college with who are sitting there on social media and reposting something that they've seen somewhere else. And here is language that they wouldn't use commonly. Or here is something they're talking about that I know that they probably wouldn't say, and yet here they are reposting it. Why? Because I think it's funny. Well, someone else posted it. I can overlook this. If you wouldn't say it, don't post it or repost it. And if we're talking about just conversation here, general conversation, think about what you're saying. How often have I met people who say they go to they're religiously affiliated, they go to a church somewhere in town, and I wonder, what are you like when you sit in church? Because I know what you're like when you're not in church. Are you the same person? I see your conversation there. And I wonder if their conversation is the same at church. Our conversation outside of church should be the same as what it is in church. And it should be pure. It should be without the areas that Paul has discussed here. Moving on. Be light. Be light. Verse 8 through 13. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. If you haven't noticed, we live in a dark world. We live in a dark world who's consumed with what's around them, who is consumed with the vanity of their mind. And you are the light. I was just 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I was just trying to teach a song to the kids, and it goes something like this. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. And they really started enjoying that. And I said, okay, we're gonna put another verse on here. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. I think we as adults can take notes from that, right? We are the light of the world. And all too often, we hide our light under a bush. Under the stuff that is around us, we are so fixated on society and what they have to say about us that we don't shine our light, that we don't talk about what's around us, that we don't talk about the God that we serve because we are so consumed with everything else. And that goes for social media. We sit here consumed with everything that's going on, sit here consumed with ourselves, consumed with what people might think of us if we post this or say that, and we don't let our light shine. There is a dying world that is around us, bound for eternity, and you have the answer for them. What are you doing with the light? If you're not familiar with 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1 alludes a lot to that whole light and darkness idea. Go back and read it. It is challenging to see that we, as the light, need to walk in the light and fellowship with the light because that is how we get to tell others about him and how we show forth the light. The idea here is just because your religious views state that you are a Christian, it doesn't mean that others are going to know that you were a Christian. In other words, if you say you're a Christian, act like one, talk like one, post like one, You are the light of the world. The next idea is be alive. Be alive. Verse 14 says, "Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." I don't know what it's like to feel like I'm dead. I know that probably comes as a surprise to some of you, but I don't. I've never been dead before. But I would imagine there are no feelings that are involved with it as far as physicality goes. Because obviously if we are saved, when we are dead in the body, then we're present with the Lord. We live in a culture who is, I don't know if you're familiar with the current idea of zombies. I'm not promoting this idea, but this is something that's a fascination of society currently. These half dead people walking around. We live in a culture who, without the Lord, they're dead, right? They're walking around as dead. And yet we have the light. We are the light. Why do we walk around with no joy, with no life? Why are we not alive? We have the opportunity. I sit with coworkers on a day-to-day basis who are constantly in, maybe you're familiar with the term, the mully grubs, who are constantly just down with life. Like it is so frustrating to them, so almost overbearing to them. They feel like there is nothing to live for. We have something to live for. Why are we not alive? And why does our Facebook, our Snapchat, why doesn't it show that we're alive? Why aren't we talking about how happy and joyous we are, even if the circumstances don't say it? Even if the circumstances are difficult for us, we still have something to be alive in. We still have someone that we are alive in that brings us joy. We are alive. Be alive. Don't be as those who have no hope in life. You have the hope. Share the hope. The idea here is you are what you post. You are what you post. People will see what you post online and they will take from it who you are. They will define you by what you post, just like they will define you by what you say. You can say, well, they will also define you by what you do. I have friends who I am not into terribly much communication with besides seeing what they post on Facebook. And when they post, sometimes I wonder, are they still a Christian? Do they still follow God? Do they care anymore? When people look at your Facebook, do they have the same questions? When people see how you interact with them online, do they have the same questions? I wonder if he really follows after God. I wonder if he's still a Christian. He said he was at one point. I know he claimed to be, but is he? You are what you post. Be alive. Be aware. Be aware. I'm going to pause on this one here for a little bit. 5:15 through 17. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding that the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Paul deals with two ideas here as far as being aware. And I do want to go to the correlating passages here, Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. So flip with me over to Colossians. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5 says, "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time." We sing a song here every once in a while now I'm losing it. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe will be soon. If it doesn't say will be soon, it should say will be soon, right? Because Christ is returning soon. Now, soon is somewhat relative to God, right? He is not bound by him. Paul thought in his day that Christ was returning soon, and we look back and say, man, that's 2,000 years ago. How can Christ be returning soon? Christ's return is always imminent, right? If you've been here in the evenings, you've heard Ross say, there is nothing left in the timeline that needs to be fulfilled. Christ could return at any moment. And with that in mind, Christ's return is soon, and we must live like it. Therefore, we need to be redeeming the time. And that is in regards to social media as well. And I'm going to speak of this from two separate points here. And I'm going to step on my own toes as well as maybe some of yours. I don't know. How often do I sit down at break time at work and have the opportunity to redeem the time by building relationships with the people I work with that are redemptive relationships where I can share the gospel with them just through the way I live, but also through what I say? And yet, what do? I pull up my phone. Oh, look what's going on. That's great. How often do I waste so much time on social media, not even thinking about it? The other day I sat down and I started flipping through stuff. And I look up the clock and 15 minutes is gone. I was like, I didn't even intend to get on social media. What am I doing? I'm wasting my time. Also, be aware that you have a platform through social media. Are you wasting your platform? You have an opportunity to share forth the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ to other people. Are you using that platform, or are you just using it for your own gains and your own personal advantage? Are you using it to share what you're doing? Hey, look at what I'm eating for dinner. Look at this. Look at that. Or are you saying, look at my God, he is amazing. Look at the Christ that I love and serve. Look what he did in my life. Are you even redeeming that opportunity that you have? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, turn there as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, for ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Be aware that there are factors around you that want to manipulate your testimony. Be it on social media or be it otherwise, there are factors around you that want to see the cause of Christ be brought down, be destroyed if possible, even on social media. Understand that the enemy is not dead on social media. Satan is alive and well and kicking, more than kicking, there as well as he is around everywhere else. So often I feel like we get on social media and feel like we can kind of block everything out. And that, this is a safe haven for me. It's not. It's not. Satan is just as active in those areas as he is in everywhere else. As we were reading in Ephesians, back in Ephesians chapter 5, he says as well, and I didn't really deal with this all that much, but I do want to stop and say something here. He says, wherefore be not, in verse 17, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. One of the things that I brought up with it, that I have brought up with the teens in the past and I brought up over there, and I think it's important to acknowledge, is the fact that so often we as Christians look for what the will of God is in our life. God, what do you want me to do? And yet there are multiple passages in the Bible that says this is the will of God. I mean, it spells out, this is the will of God for your life. One of them is that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. If you go through and read those passages, understand them, and yet don't obey them, why do we ever wonder why God doesn't show us his will to us? If we want to understand what the will of God is for us, we need to be obeying what God has already laid out in his word for us. So I challenge you to take time to read those passages as well. I'm not, again, this is extra. You don't have to pay me extra for that little tidbit there. This is not part of what I was speaking on exactly. But please understand that the will of God, we need to understand that he has laid out certain areas in scripture, and we need to be following those things before we even even question why we don't have any other guidance from God, and oftentimes use that as guidance. The idea here is what you post may not be understood within the context of what you mean or what you believe. What you post may not be understood within the context of what you mean or what you believe. Somebody may see what you said and say, what are they saying? Obviously, when you post something online, you really can't put facial expressions unless you're really good with the emoticons, the little smiley faces and sad faces. Even those don't really convey what you're trying to say to other people, right? All it really does is kind of confuse people. Is that a smiley face? Is that a colon with a D after? I don't really know what it is. What you post may not be understood within the context of what you mean or what you believe. Be aware. Be aware that everyone may not have the proper motives when they start to try to understand what you're saying. Even when you're communicating in person, how often do you say something? How often do I say something to my wife and try to mean one thing, and yet she interprets it as something completely different? She can see my facial expression. She can see my body language. Did you mean this? Well, no, I didn't really mean that, but your body language was saying this and this. Even more so when we go to social media, they don't have body language, facial expressions to go off of. We need to be aware of what we're posting and understand that the cause of Christ is at stake. Moving on, be sober. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, we're not going to turn there, but it says in verse 18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. As I said over there, I'm not going to deal with this verse in its application necessarily, but I do want to say that we don't need to be controlled by anything, right? Even, as we were just talking about, even the use of social media. Like it or not, I believe that some things that are done on the computer can be addicting, and social media, I believe that there are scientific studies out that the social media, you can have withdrawals as far as getting off of it and those kind of things. You don't need to be controlled by anything, social media included. And if that's the case, then I challenge you, go for it. Go for a social media detox. Get off of it. Go for a week without it. You'll be amazed at what you see around you and who you get to talk to. The friends you didn't think still existed actually might still exist, right? Don't be controlled by anything. The idea here is you don't have to post everything you do on social media. I have, actually, I'll use a personal example here. I wasn't intending to post what I was doing on social media as far as my tie challenge. For those of you who remember that, that was a year ago. But I posted a whole lot of ties, and I had lots of friends that came up to me and said, can you please stop with the ties? Like, this is getting really frustrating. And I realized at that point, I don't have to post everything I do on social media. How often do I go on and see, hey, I can tell exactly what you've eaten for the last 3 years because it's right here on your Facebook, or I can tell exactly where you've gone or what you've done. I don't need to know all those things, right? I don't have to. It's not necessary. You don't have to post everything you do on social media. Be vocal. This is another area we're going to stop on. Be vocal. As we go down to verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I won't make you turn there, but for those of you who are helping out with Patch Club, Jim, you are. I don't see, well, Tara's not here, and Darla isn't in here. But we talked about the Patch Club verse, which is Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, which says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. How often do we live that verse? Or this verse? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The idea is you are a fountain to allow the word of God, Christ, to dwell in you so much so that it comes out of you. Whether it's in what you say or what you type and post on Facebook. I have Shannon. For those of you who know Shannon, my sister-in-law. I sit there and look at her Facebook page, and day in and day out, if it's not a Bible verse that she's posting a song about God. I mean, almost consistently, day in and day out. And I sit there and read those things and said, that is what my social media feed needs to be for others to see that what is in me is coming out. The fact that God's word is dwelling within me so richly that it is overpouring, outpouring, coming out, flooding everywhere I can possibly allow it to flood. that other people see it coming out my pores. That it flows so much that it's not a question that this is who I am. You need to be vocal about the Word of God, about your faith. And the idea here is, I've already kind of alluded to it, if you aren't posting about Christ, you are missing a big opportunity. If you have social media and you're not posting about Christ, you have an audience right there in your own backyard. Why are you not using that medium to tell others about what is truly important to you? Why are you wasting your opportunity? Moving on quickly, be thankful. Be thankful. Verse 20 says, give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be thankful. We are coming to November. November is coming upon us very quickly. Hard to believe, right? I blinked, January happened, and I blinked again, and all of a sudden now we're in almost October, end of September here. November will be upon us. One of the challenges that I make to the teens is that they take opportunity to sit down and write out five things that they're thankful for before Thanksgiving. We sit there and talk about them. And I have so many friends who take time, and I think they call it Thankvember. I don't know what the actual technical social media name for it is, but they sit there and on a day-to-day basis, they post one thing they're thankful for. And if you have social media, I would challenge you to do that. Post one thing you're thankful for every day in November. If you don't have social media, I would challenge you to write it down. One of the activities I had to do growing up for camp that I went to was that I had to write down 100 things that I was thankful for. The first 10 to 15 came pretty quick. The next 20 to 30 were a little difficult, and after that, it just flowed. When we sit down and start to count our blessings, I think we'll find that we have so much more to be thankful for than we realize. And I challenge you to share that if you have social media on social media. And if you don't, share it every day, vocally and verbally, and also in prayer as we talk back to God. Be thankful. The idea here is, social media doesn't need to become a platform of complaint. How often do I look on social media and all I see is,
I can't believe they did this. I can't believe they acted this way. I don't want to do this. Life is hard. It's hard to be an adult.
And yet we have a platform to be thankful, and we have so much to be thankful for. Why do we use it as an opportunity to complain? Verse 20, I want to point out a word here that is very important. It says, giving thanks always. Guess what? That means you don't stop. It never ceases. Dealing with, well, anybody, I hear people complain, right? And I want to sit there and say, giving thanks always. And then I hear myself complain, and I need to tell myself the same thing, right? Giving thanks always. The circumstances might be hard. There might be things around us that we don't want to give thanks for, and yet we have the opportunity to give thanks even in those things. Why? Because we have a good God who wants to conform us to the image of his Son through those things. We are to give thanks always. Be serving. I'm going to skip a couple really long sections here. One, for sake of time. Two, because I deal with a lot of things that really need to be long-winded and we don't have the time for it. And three, because I want to leave those for Pastor Ross to eventually talk about, I'm sure, at some point in his preaching career. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And that's where I'm going to stop for that part. He goes into wives, husbands, children, servants. The idea is you can't get out of this. You must submit, or you must serve somebody else. Husbands, you need to serve your wives. Wives, you must submit / serve your husbands. Children, you must obey / serve your parents. Serving needs to be a mentality for us, and yet so often it is something that we force on other people and don't do ourselves. And even in social media, we need to serve. How? There are people that are hurting on social media. There are people that are hurting on social media. How often do I see people who post things about, hey, my parent just passed away unexpectedly. I just had a miscarriage. My family is going through a hard financial time. Just lost my job. They post those things. right? And I have the opportunity to come along and encourage them in the Lord, and build them up and be there for them. This is an opportunity that we have, and yet we don't so often. We overlook it. Why? Because we're so concerned with what we're doing. We're so consumed with what we're doing. There are people that are hurting on social media. Be strong. Again, skipping over a very large section into chapter 6 here. Chapter 6, verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." Christianity oftentimes is viewed as measly, as weakness. I know some people in town who view, well, there's probably plenty of people in town who view Christianity, those who believe in the Bible, as a crutch, as a mental crutch, that you have a weakness of some sort. And yet we are to be strong and show the fact that the God that we serve is all-powerful, and who will someday come and wipe out all who oppose him with a single word. And as Pastor Roth has been preaching, he says it's going to go something like this. And they're all gone. That is the God that we serve. And yet how often do we cower on social media, fearing if we say something, the ridicule that we might get? We have the opportunity to stand up and be strong. Earlier in the passage, it talks about the fact that we need to reprove darkness. We need to stand up against darkness. As we put on the whole armor of God, understand that we are going into battle, that there is a battle raging around us that needs to be fought, and we need to be willing to stand up against those things. And even in social media, as issues come up, we have the opportunity to stand and say, this is wrong. This in society is a problem, and it stands against the word of God, and it needs to change. And if we don't, we are giving almost our agreeance to these things to happen. Again, at the camp that I served at, one of the ideas that they tried to drill into us was, your silence is your condoning of what's going on. You're almost showing your agreeance with it if you're being silent directly to something else. And while maybe passively being silent to something else is wise, because jumping into it isn't going to do any good, we still need to take those opportunities at times to show the fact that the God that we serve is strong, and that the Bible is truth, and that there is morality that needs to be stood for. The idea here is God's word is quick and powerful, even on social media. As we go down into the passage, it talks about the only offensive weapon that we have, which is the word of God. And let's see. I'm trying to see here. I thought it was 18. Am I missing it? Anyways, the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, we have the opportunity, which is able to cut through the marrow, cut through the darkness that is around us. That is the tool that we have. Use it even on social media. Post it, spread it, share it. Not only there, but in also what you say. As I close, I saw a commercial a couple years ago, and that commercial, I believe, was for Dove, I think, and it showed people coming in and sitting down with a police sketch artist, right? And they would describe themselves. I don't think the police artist could see them, so they would describe themselves to the artist. The artist would then draw it, and then their friends would come in and describe that friend to them, and the artist would draw it, right? And they would compare the two. And in the end, there's a whole bunch of twos. Oh, you're more beautiful than you think you are. Okay, not the point of this illustration. Point of the illustration is, if people looked at your life, what you talked about, what you did, your social media, and they had to describe you, and someone came by and heard what they described, would they be describing Christ? Just like that artist draws something, a picture of something that kind of reflects something else, would your life reflect Christ so that people could look at it and immediately say, that person, there's something different. Maybe they don't know Christ, they don't know what's different, but they can point to it and say, there's something different, even on that person's social media feed. There's something different about what they say and what they do. You have a platform. For those of you who have social media, use it. And if you don't, then use what you say and use what you do as a platform. Walk worthy of Christ. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the day you've given us. I thank you for those who have come here. Lord, I pray that you would help us to walk worthy of you in what we say, in what we do, in what we post, and how we interact with others. Help us to glorify you in everything that is said and done this week. In Christ, I pray. Amen. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed.